ever just, hand your phone to a kid to play a game, and then later you're like, oh no, do they just
give away the fart?
yeah their entire life story to some company, basically. That's kind of why this whole deep dive is important. We're tackling COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act.
A mouthful.
It is. But it's about, making the internet more of a safe playground for kids, not just this free-for-all for data harvesting.
What's interesting and often missed is that COPPA isn't just about stopping the bad actors out there. It's about setting a bar for everyone. Think of it as, the baseline, not the finish line, when it comes to protecting young users online.
Okay, so for anyone listening who's not a legal scholar, break down what COPPA actually is, like in plain English.
In essence, it's a law passed way back in 1998 when the internet was just starting to become a thing. Dial-up, remember those clunky computers?
Vaguely.
Right. But even back then, lawmakers saw that kids would need some extra protection in this online world. So COPPA, what it does is it says any website, any app, any online service, really anything collecting data from kids under 13 has to follow these specific rules.
And it's not just like names and email addresses, right? Things have changed a lot since the 90s.
Well, absolutely. The law has, thankfully, been updated over time, most significantly in 2013. And that's when the definition of what's considered personal information got expanded. So now it covers things like, geolocation data, those photos and videos kids are always sharing,
Oh, for sure.
even those kind of hidden identifiers they use to track activity online.
So it's trying to keep up with technology, which is reassuring because we all know how fast things change in the digital world.
Exactly. And the FTC, they're the ones who enforce COPPA. They're pretty on top of it. They even did a whole review in 2019 to see if any further changes were needed. So it's not just gathering dust somewhere.
That's good to hear. Okay, so let's talk about one of the biggies within COPPA, this idea of reasonable security measures. What does that even mean in practice? It sounds kind of vague.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's actually quite specific when you dig in. Imagine a company, right? They collect some data from kids to personalize their experience, like maybe it's an educational app or something. COPPA says you can't just have that information sitting out in the open. You need these reasonable security measures. And there's two main parts, technical and administrative.
Okay, so let's break that down a bit. Technical safeguards, that to me sounds like building like a digital fortress around the data.
Exactly. It's about things like encryption, which is basically scrambling the data so it's unreadable unless you have the key. Imagine a hacker trying to break in, right? Encryption makes all that information useless.
So like a digital lock and key.
Exactly. And then you have strong password requirements, multi-factor authentication, those extra steps to verify it's really you, and obviously making sure only authorized people have access to this sensitive information in the first place. So yeah, it's those digital walls, those multiple layers of security.
Having a security guard at the door, making sure only the right people get in.
Exactly. But it's not just about the tech, it's about the people too. That's where the administrative safeguards come in, creating a whole culture of security within the organization itself.
So that's where employee training and all that comes in, making sure everyone understands how important this data is to protect.
Absolutely. And not just like a one-and-done training, regular refreshers, maybe even using real-life examples. Because even with the best tech in the world, people make mistakes.
Human error, it gets us every time. So it's having those procedures, making sure everyone's on the same page.
Yes. And if, despite everyone's best efforts, there is a breach, having a plan is crucial, right? An incident response strategy, being ready to act fast, being transparent, notifying the users who are affected, the regulators. It's about taking responsibility and maintaining that trust.
Which is really what it all comes down to, isn't it? Building that trust with users and showing that following COPPA isn't just checking a box on a to-do list. It's showing that you actually care about protecting kids online.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's building that ethical framework, putting kids' well-being right at the center. Transparency, accountability, those are key.
Okay, so we've covered the what of COPPA and the why it's so important. Let's get into the how. How has this law actually played out in the real world? Has it had teeth?
Oh, it absolutely has. Since it was enacted back in 98 and then fully implemented by 2000, it's really shaped how organizations approach this whole area of children's data. It's been a journey, especially thinking about how much the internet itself has changed since then.
I can only imagine. We've gone from dial-up to TikTok challenges and kid influencers. The landscape is totally different.
You're telling me. And COPPA's had to adapt. That 2013 update we talk about, that was crucial to catch up with these new types of data kids are generating now. And the FTC being so proactive, like with that 2019 review, it shows they're serious about making sure COPPA stays relevant.
It's reassuring to know that someone's looking out for kids' best interests online, because it changes so fast. Speaking of which, there have been some pretty high-profile COPPA cases, the ones that really put this on everyone's radar. What comes to mind?
Oh, there have been some big ones. Remember back in 2014, that crackdown on all those apps and websites that were illegally collecting data from kids? That sent a shockwave through a lot of companies and made everyone realize, okay, this is serious.
A real wake-up call. And then, of course, the YouTube case in 2020. Huge.
Huge is right. That was the landmark case. Resulted in a $170 million penalty for COPPA violations. It showed how serious this is, especially for platforms with a ton of young users.
Talk about a deterrent. I remember that case was everywhere in the news, and it really got people talking about COPPA, about kids' privacy online in general, more than they ever had before.
No doubt about it. That media coverage, it's so important, not just to report on those enforcement actions, but to get those broader conversations happening, you know, about digital ethics, about how we keep kids safe in this space.
And these big cases, they definitely led to some major shifts in how the whole industry operates.
Oh, for sure. Suddenly, everyone was scrambling to get their digital house in order. We saw a big push for clear privacy policies, ones that even a teenager could understand, because transparency was key.
But it wasn't just about words on a page, right? It had to be real change happening within these companies, too.
Exactly. Companies started investing in training for their employees, realizing that everyone, from the developers to the marketing folks, needed to get up to speed on COPPA. It was a big culture shift for a lot of them.
It's kind of amazing how these big public events can force that kind of positive change, though. So we've established that COPPA is not static, it's evolving, it's being enforced. But what I find really interesting is this idea that it takes a village to protect kids online.
100%. It's not just on lawmakers or even the companies themselves. It's about building this culture of data protection at every level, from within the organization outwards. Parents, educators, even the kids themselves have a role to play.
And within a company, there are all these different players who have to make this happen.
Oh, for sure. You've got to start with leadership. They set the tone for the whole place.
Right. It's one thing to say you care about data protection. It's another thing to actually prioritize it.
You got it. Leadership has to walk the walk. They have to put the resources, money, people, time towards those robust security measures we were talking about earlier. Can't just be talk, no action.
It's got to be baked into how the company operates, not an afterthought.
Absolutely. And it's not just throwing money at it either. It's about clear communication, setting those expectations. Leadership needs to have those data protection policies and then create an environment where employees feel safe speaking up if they see something that's not right.
That culture of transparency and accountability makes such a difference. So leadership lays the groundwork, but who's actually down in the trenches making it all happen?
That's where those amazing engineering teams come in. They're the ones building the systems, maintaining them, making sure kids' data is actually protected. Strong encryption, designing software securely in the first place, always being on the lookout for any new weaknesses.
It's like they're building that digital fortress we were talking about earlier, trying to make it as impenetrable as possible.
Great analogy. And just like with a real fortress, you need upkeep. Constant vigilance. Engineers are on the front lines, looking out for new threats, testing things, and trying to stay ahead of the curve as technology changes so rapidly.
It's a big responsibility, but someone's got to do it. And it's not all on their shoulders, right?
You're right. We've got the analysts, too. They're like the data detectives of the organization.
Data detectives. I like the sound of that. Tell me more.
So think of them as the risk assessment gurus. Their job is to find any potential vulnerabilities, see how strong the current security measures actually are, and figure out where those measures might need to be even stronger. They're also the ones making sure the organization is following COPPA 2 and any other relevant regulations.
So they're monitoring everything, making sure nothing slips through the cracks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And importantly, they're the ones connecting the dots. They take all the data, the technical stuff, compliance reports, what's happening in the industry, and they turn that into information the organization can actually use to get better at security.
So they're not just pointing out problems, they're helping find solutions.
Exactly. They're a big part of guiding the organization's overall data protection strategy.
And then I'm guessing this is where auditors come in to double check that everything's actually running as it should be.
Absolutely. Auditors provide that independent verification, making sure all that hard work everyone else is doing is actually working. They come in with a fine-tooth comb, look at the security policies, the procedures, dig through access logs, all of it, to see how effective those current security measures are.
It's like having to take an exam after you've been studying really hard. You want to make sure you've covered everything.
Exactly. They look for any gaps, any areas where things could be tighter, and then give recommendations for improvement. Their findings are super valuable for making strategic decisions about security investments down the line.
So we've got leadership setting the vision, engineers building the defenses, analysts looking for those risks and solutions, and auditors making sure it's all running smoothly. Sounds like a well-oiled machine when it all comes together.
That's what it is. A real team effort. That's how you know a gated protection program is truly effective, when all those different groups are working together, sharing information, all working towards that same goal of protecting kids' data.
This has been incredibly insightful. We've covered a ton today, from the basics of COPPA to how it's changed how companies handle data, the key players involved. But before we jump into part two, you mentioned earlier that COPPA focuses a lot on what happens before data is collected, right? Parental consent, minimizing collection, all that. But what about when a breach does happen? What are the consequences?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Because even with the best security in the world, sometimes these things happen. And when they do, the consequences can be huge, both for the company and for the kids whose data was compromised.
So let's talk about those consequences. What happens when an organization, you know, despite its best efforts, has a data breach and it involves kids' information?
Well, the first thing to understand is that the FTC, they don't mess around when it comes to COPPA violations. They've got a whole toolbox of enforcement actions they can take, and the penalties, they can be pretty hefty.
We're talking about those big fines, right? Like in the YouTube case we talked about.
Exactly. Those fines can be in the millions, especially for these big companies. But it goes beyond just money. The FTC can also impose mandatory audits. So the organization has to have like regular checkups by a third party to make sure they're actually following the rules.
So it's not just a one-time thing. It's ongoing scrutiny.
Exactly. And in some cases, they might even make the organization implement a whole new privacy program overseen by the FTC to really address the issues that led to the breach in the first place.
It sounds like the FTC is really serious about making sure these breaches aren't just ignored, that actual change happens.
Oh, absolutely. They are sending a message that protecting kids' privacy is non-negotiable. But even beyond the legal stuff, the financial penalties, there's also the hit to the company's reputation to think about.
Yeah, that's a good point. In today's world, news of a data breach, it spreads so fast.
Like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
And when it involves kids' data, that really erodes trust with consumers, which can be really hard to earn back. Parents are rightfully protective of that information.
It's not just about the bottom line. It's about how the public sees the company and the long-term impact on how people feel about using their products or services.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't forget about the potential harm to the kids themselves. Their information could end up being used for identity theft, phishing scams, even worse things.
It's kind of a scary thought, and it really emphasizes why this is such a big deal. So we've talked about the fallout from a breach, but what can companies do to, you know, lessen those risks?
It starts with being proactive about cybersecurity. Companies have to invest in strong security measures, things like encryption, firewalls, intrusion detection systems.
Yeah.
Those are all essential for protecting the data they collect.
It's like building those strong digital walls we talked about earlier.
Exactly. And like any good defense, you got to keep testing it, looking for weaknesses, and staying up to date because those threats are always changing.
Constantly evolving, yeah. It's never a one and done situation.
Exactly. And having that incident response plan, that's key too. If a breach does happen, you need to know what to do, how to contain it, who to notify, how to follow those legal requirements. You can't be caught flat-footed.
It's having that playbook ready so you're not scrambling when it happens.
Precisely. And part of that plan should be about taking care of the people who are affected too, offering resources and support. That might mean credit monitoring services, identity theft protection, even counseling if it was a really bad breach.
Going above and beyond, showing that you're serious about making things right.
Right. It's about compassion and empathy for the people who've been impacted.
This has been a really eye-opening conversation. We've really gone into the nitty-gritty of COPPA, looked at all the different people involved in keeping kids' data safe, and talked about why creating that culture of data privacy is so important, both for companies and for all of us in our own lives. But you mentioned before that COPPA focuses a lot on what happens before data is collected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Parental consent, minimizing what you collect, that kind of thing. But what happens when a breach does happen? What are the consequences?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Because even with the best security in the world, sometimes these things happen. And when they do, the consequences can be huge, both for the company and for the kids whose data was compromised.
So let's talk about those consequences. What happens when an organization, despite its best efforts, experiences a data breach involving children's information?
Well, the first thing to understand is that the FTC takes COPPA violations very seriously. They have a whole range of enforcement tools at their disposal, and the penalties can be substantial.
We're talking about those hefty fines, right? Like the YouTube case we discussed earlier.
Exactly. Those fines can reach into the millions, especially for large companies. But it goes beyond just the financial hit. The FTC can also impose mandatory audits, where the organization has to undergo regular checkups by a third party to ensure they're in compliance.
So it's not just a one-time slap on the wrist, it's ongoing scrutiny.
Precisely. And in some cases, the FTC might even require the organization to implement a comprehensive privacy program overseen by the commission to address the issues that led to the breach.
Wow, that's serious. It really seems like they're trying to make sure these breaches aren't just swept under the rug, that real change happens as a result.
Absolutely. They are sending a clear message that protecting children's privacy is paramount. But beyond the legal and financial repercussions, there are also the reputational damages to consider.
That's a good point. In today's world, news of a data breach can spread like wildfire, especially when it involves kids.
Exactly. And when that breach involves children, it erodes trust with consumers, which can be incredibly difficult to rebuild. Parents are understandably very protective of their children's information.
It's not just about numbers on a balance sheet. It's about public perception and the long-term impact on the organization's relationship with its users.
You got it. And we can't forget about the potential harm to the children themselves. Their information could be used for identity theft, phishing scams, or even more malicious activities.
That's a chilling thought, and it really underscores why this issue is so important. So we've talked about the potential fallout from a data breach, but what steps can organizations take to, you know, try to prevent this from happening in the first place?
Well, it all starts with a proactive approach to cybersecurity. Organizations need to invest in robust security measures, like encryption, firewalls, and intrusion detection systems to safeguard the data they collect.
It's like building those strong digital walls we talked about earlier, making sure those defenses are really strong.
Exactly. And just like any good defense, you need to regularly test your systems, conduct vulnerability assessments, and stay up to date on the latest security threats. The landscape is constantly changing, so you can't just set it and forget it.
It's an ongoing process, not a one-time fix.
Exactly. And it's crucial to have a clear incident response plan in place. If a breach does occur, you need to be prepared to act quickly and decisively to contain the damage, notify affected individuals, and comply with all legal requirements.
It's about having that game plan ready to go so you're not caught off guard if something happens.
Exactly. And part of that game plan should include providing resources and support to affected individuals. That might involve credit monitoring services, identity theft protection, or even counseling services if the breach was particularly severe.
It's about going beyond the bare minimum and demonstrating a genuine commitment to making things right, not just from a legal standpoint, but for the people who were impacted.
Absolutely. It's about showing compassion and empathy for those who have been impacted by the breach. It's about doing the right thing, even when it's hard.
This has been an incredibly insightful conversation. We've delved into the complexities of COPPA, explored the interconnected roles of various stakeholders in safeguarding children's data, and discussed the importance of creating a culture of data privacy both within organizations and in our personal lives. And I think the main takeaway here is that it really is a shared responsibility.
I completely agree. It's on all of us, parents, educators, policymakers, tech companies, everyone, to work together to make the online world a safer place for kids.
Well said. And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it informative and empowering. Remember, knowledge is power, and by working together, we can help make the digital world a safer and more enriching place for children to learn, play, and grow. Until next time, stay curious.